Yo, does it get any better than this? People, pay attention, sit back, and listen. You are now submerged in the underground of radio with two of the baddest, most uncut villains on the airwaves. Welcome. You are now citizens of the man cave. I am your host, Vic Zell, the voice with the incomparable jack of all trades, West Coast Rail. Let's get into the main.
Yeah, let's get into it. What's going on, man? Ain't nothing going on, man. Just trying to survive, basically, every day to day, man.
That's a fact. Since we are here, people, we have to talk about the NBA season coming back around, man. You know, I think that's our, safe to say, our favorite sport. You know, we love football just as much, but I mean, when it comes to, that nonstop drama, you know, it's the NBA, National Basketball Association, you know, and it,
period.
And man, we've been going through this quarantine and shit's just been crazy. Like, we gotta talk about, you know, what it looks like coming back, you know, what would the NBA look like coming back, as well as, you know, what does this mean for fans? You know, what does it mean for the players, their families, everything like that, man. So we're going to get into it, man. Firstly, I'm excited that they're even taking the votes and discussing bringing back the NBA very shortly, you know, and I don't know what you've heard out there, but from what we've heard, there's going to be two separate locations, Las Vegas, Nevada, and Orlando, Florida. And, you know, I want to get your opinion on this, West Coast Rail, because I know you got a lot to talk about with this, because, you know, this is just, I mean, it doesn't get much deeper than the NBA for us, man. You know, two brothers from another mother, man. This is what we do. It's what we love. Oh, and, yeah. Yeah, it's been a while since we've been able to kick it about sports, man. So, yeah. You know, it is our specialty.
Yeah, exactly. You know? That's the whole basis of this podcast. And that's we haven't been able to do it in so long because there hasn't been shit going on as far as sports. But, right. Definitely ready for the NBA to come back. Surprised that they are coming back, but I'm with it. I don't give a damn. You know what I'm saying? Just as long as they're giving us something to watch and something to root for.
Yeah.
They had a vote. They're giving out votes about what the NBA season is going to look like when they come back.
Okay.
One of the top vote, the thing that got the top vote was they want to resume the regular season with all 30 teams, followed by a play-in tournament. That got 8 votes. The next one is going straight to the playoffs with either a play-in tournament or a World Cup style group stages. They got 5 votes. The last one is resume the regular season with all 30 teams, and they go straight to the playoffs. Got 1 vote. That's kind of how that's kind of how it usually goes. Just finishing out the regular season. One of the things that they want to do, or that they're definitely trying to do, is to get the top 22 teams. That's what they're trying to do, trying to get the top 22 teams, period. So it doesn't matter if you're in the East or the West, top 22 teams, and we're going to go tournament style. I mean, it's unconventional. You said, though, it's something that this is the perfect season to do it because it's something so new. This is an unconventional season thus far with this whole coronavirus shutting down everything. In order to get something new, and they already wanted to change the playoff format before the season started. So the fact that they are just deciding, you know what, we might as well just do it now. Good strategy, I believe. Great timing. Because, you know, with the owners losing money, they need TV revenue so bad. So with Orlando and Vegas being the two hotspots, in my mind, it basically looks like Summer League.
Okay.
So if that's the way they're gonna do it, then that's fine. Let's give them what they need. I just want to get your thoughts on how that sounds to you.
Okay, so like the thing I'm most interested in, I guess, is how it will end up for, you know, select teams, because when you think about how the playoffs are structured, I personally think in the format of, you know, one plays eight, you know, so forward.
Yeah.
So after you've eliminated these teams, you know, what it would be, 8 teams out of the 22 or 6 teams, whatever, that get eliminated, and then you start the playoff tournament. I'm intrigued to see, because like normally you'd have, like, let's say that the Lakers are great, right? Everybody knows they, you know, number one seed in the West, you know, and then they would play, you know, just throwing out there, you know, a potential AFC like OKC. or Utah Jazz, something like that. How would that affect them now, being that, you know, they wouldn't play this, not necessarily a garbage team, but that bottom of the barrel team? You know, you might have to play somebody that's in the upper echelon of the East coming out that you would have faced in the finals, or, you know, something like that. It just seems to me that, man, it's like you change the whole dynamic of how people prepare for the playoffs. True. And such. And then two to that is like, you know, it just seems weird to me, because it's like, we want basketball to resume, period, point blank. But then it's like, man,
right?
Do you put an asterisk on it because of the format that you, like, you just, like, in the middle of the season, you're changing the way that the playoffs are going to go. Like,
basically. That, all right. Like, and it that depends
me,
on how.
Yeah, like, that to me deserves an asterisk, because it's like, you can't start the season. We've been doing this a certain way, and then you change up everything that's going to happen at the end, but then you still call it like a regular season, and whoever's the champ's the champ when there's no fans, right, and shit like that. So I'm just like, man, I'm just really, I want to know more about that. You know, how does that affect both parties?
Right. I'm trying to figure out if they want to do a tournament style. I'm like, so is this like the March Madness type style?
Right.
I don't like that format. If that's the case, because that just means one, you know, one game, you can have a bad game and you can just lose it for your right. team. Like the top seed and LeBron James can just have a bad yeah. night and it could just ruin the Lakers season. I don't think that that's the case. What I was seeing since they want 22 teams in, right now, what it would look like is 13 teams from the West and only 10 teams from the East would get in. So it's, it'd be 9, because that's 23. Okay. So, yes, only nine so teams from the East would get in. Okay. Yeah, 9 from the East, 13 from the West.
I mean, that sounds about right anyway, though, when you talk about quality of team. You know, it's no secret that the West is the strongest conference.
I mean,
right now.
Obviously, period. And that's just one of the reasons why they want to do this, because they are looking at it like, okay, there's a lot of good teams in the West that we can make a lot of money off
right.
of. It seems like they're the strongest. They've been the strongest for years.
Yeah.
Ever since Jordan left the East. The East has been trash to me. They've only had like a few good teams, a few good runs here and there, but it's been consistently repeats with the West.
Okay.
So
I wouldn't say trash. I would say trash is Jordan. They had quality champs.
I ain't been trash.
Not just, it's not ultimate trash. Well, if you're talking about the whole, like, if you could just bring in the
whole, think about it.
Okay, I'm not gonna
even argue. When LeBron James came back, I'm just saying when LeBron.
Well, LeBron was
Kobe and Shaq.
He was what the East needed, and
I agree.
You got to also think Boston went back up to a top tier team. They were champs.
I know.
Then you know, they've had moments.
You know what I'm saying? They've had
Detroit.
Yep, moment.
Miami.
Good moment.
You know, I mean, but really, I mean,
I'm just saying, but if you thought about it from top to bottom, West to East, always West. I don't care who won the championship at the time. You know, it was always the Western Conference was so much better than the
since
East.
Jordan, yes.
True, you had your top teams. You had your top teams. But it was like, man, 1 through 8 on the West was good, and only like 1 through 4 were good on the East. You know what I'm saying? So that's how it's been in my eyes since Jordan left.
I mean,
so,
I'm an East guy.
I'm an East guy too.
When I think about the whole of it, I'm like, okay, well, you know, when we started watching basketball, the West was the weaker conference, and you only had 3 teams coming out of the West that even meant anything. Mm-hmm. So.
That's right.
But yeah, I mean, if you're talking recently in the last 20 years, it's hard to debate that since Jordan left, the East has had even a 5-year stretch of dominance, even a 3-year stretch of mm-hmm. dominance, because even when you had the Pistons, you still had the San Antonio Spurs of the world that were making hell for everybody. So I can understand that.
Yeah, okay. Definitely. So let's we're sticking it back on what the NBA will look like this upcoming, the rest of the season that's coming up. I wanted to know from your opinion, who do you have favorite to win it? Period. I don't care how the playoffs look, how it's formatted, how it is. Who is your favorite team to win it all?
Okay, now you ready for the dilemma?
It's going to be LeBron, but I'm ready for the dilemma. I'm
ready for the extra dilemma. Well, you know me too well. But here's the fucking deal. Yes. All right. I am the LeBron fanatic. There's no secret LeBron about it.
We're going to have another LeBron versus Jordan debate just because you are still a LeBron James fan. I'm pretty sure you'll ease up on that now that you've seen the Last Dance documentary from Michael Jordan.
No, not going
to
happen.
As you know, then, definitely have to have that debate.
Not going
to
happen. Not going to ease up on it at all. You, not letting them off the...
Oh, my God.
Don't care. Great documentary. Don't care.
Damn.
Yep, that's right.
You still say LeBron James is better than Michael Jordan?
Well, because who's gonna fight? Like, who's gonna fight for him? True LeBron fans,
it's not supposed to. You're not supposed to.
How can you?
Come on.
That's a debate for another day.
You're right. Oh yeah, we're gonna definitely get into that.
So you want to hear about my opinion?
Who you got? Who you got?
I have the Lakers on the condition. On the condition right now. And like I said, it'll be weird to see it with the playoff format as it will come. But the Lakers just have a guy that no matter what you throw at him, he just knows how to use pieces. And it's like a lot of these teams play checkers and LeBron James just plays chess. And he has not won the chess game every year. Like, I don't want people to make that assumption of me that I just think this dude's the greatest that has ever done it and he never loses and all this and that. No. He has flaws. Mm-hmm. He has flaws. And that's what makes him a great player, because he knows he has flaws. He has no problem admitting it. And he also doesn't have problem placing the blame on who it needs to be blamed on, J.R. Smith. But, you know, I'm just saying. But, you know, I mean, because we would be talking about him in a different respect had JR know what to do with the basketball. But
I know you're right. It was such a dumbass.
I mean, come on. So, you know, he played for the Warriors. But anyway, when we talk about having the proper items in place and the leadership to know what to do with it. LeBron is at the top of the league, no matter what coach you're talking about or any of that. He is the coach. Like, a lot of these teams have great coaches. Like the Clippers have a great Hall of Fame coach, Doc Rivers. Knows the deal. Doc's the shit and this and that. But Doc doesn't get to coach on the floor with his guys. Like if Doc could do it, he would, you know, virtually put himself on the floor, be the point guard, pass to himself, shoot it. You know, make sure everybody, like, LeBron actually can do that on the floor. And that's what makes the situation so unique. Besides the fact that he has a top three player in the league as well on his team. I mean, come on, it's ridiculous. The only setback for them is their bench. Their bench has to show up. And that's where the LA Clippers and, you know, even the Milwaukee Bucks get
an edge.
It's not even an edge. It's just, okay, it's an edge. You have an edge.
I might say that's better than that on the bench.
You have more players on the bench that you can look to make plays. And because when LeBron James is off the floor, you know, you are looking at the New Orleans Pelicans instead of the LA Lakers, that's a problem for me. That's a big problem for me.
Yeah, buddy.
And, you know, if you... They're riddled by injury because you have a Boogie Cousins situation that needed to be on the floor. And, I mean, if you had Boogs healthy, you're talking differently about the Lakers. You're talking about one of the most dominating teams ever, because you would have a guy,
I agree,
like another seven-footer, or, how, you know, he's close to 7 feet. Who can do it all. He can
6'11". I mean, 6'11".
Yeah, I mean, he's 7 foot. Come on, you know, man. You slice it how you want.
Basically.
He can shoot the ball. You know, he can create. Yeah. He's a... amazing big-to-big passer, as well as just being able to have that leadership on the floor that you need from another veteran guy. And you lose that when LeBron goes off the floor, you're left with AD. AD's still young. He's not the leader. You know, he can lead, but he's not a leader.
Yeah.
We saw that in New Orleans. You know, it's the difference between being a leader and being able to lead, because Kevin Durant is able to lead, but he's not a leader. That's why he left OKC. He went to Golden State because he wanted to be led. And AD wants to be led by LeBron. He wants, you know, he challenges LeBron on some things like defense and other, but he wants to be led. And that's the mental edge that the Clippers have, because you have assassins on that team. Mm-hmm. You have Rough Riders that are ready to ride and die for the Clipper banner. And you have a Hall of Fame coach that knows how to change up what he needs done in different situations. We saw that with Doc when he first got to the Clippers, being as though he had all-star guy that was getting paid like a superstar, that he had to figure out, man, how can we still win games when this guy can't shoot? You know, so he just knows how to put what he needs where. And because the Lakers have Jeff Vogel, I kind of have to give that coaching advantage. I have to give the coaching advantage to Doc Rivers in that respect. But if it's just, I mean, we're talking about five dudes on the floor and putting your best five out there. I'm going to take that Lakers combination of the three and the five, or the three and the four and five. I'm going to take that over a lot of it, because they're going to have the ball in their hands more than anybody.
Yeah, I agree. Listen, I tell you like this. I'm not the hugest LeBron James fan, but LeBron James has gotten better with shooting the 3-point.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He knows that a lot of people are just going to leave him open, like, not really, like, afraid of him, but he'll knock it down. And so he's improved on that, like, tenfold. Like, it's light years ahead of where he was, you know, a couple years ago. So, shouts out to LeBron James for improving his shot.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of the things that was his weakness, I believe. He's turned it into a strength.
Well, year after year, he gets better.
Not really, but...
Oh, he does.
He just gets bigger. I don't know what else to tell you. I mean,
well, his shooting gets better every
looking
year.
Looking like a Mack truck.
Shooting percentage went up gradually every year. Every single year.
That's good, though. Still not better than Jordan, but it's okay. Yeah.
Well, try. Jordan shot 30%, but we won't get that.
I mean...
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
He took a whole lot of shots, though. He had to take a whole lot of shots. I get you. But as far as my favorite team to win, I give you my favorite, then I'll give you a sleeper team that I'm just like, I just want to see what they can do in the playoffs.
Okay.
I'm not thinking that they're gonna win anything, but boy, they're gonna be exciting to watch. My favorite team is the other LA team.
Okay. So you got the Clippers. Clippers to win it all.
I got the Clippers, yes, sir.
And then you got a sleeper
Kawhi,
team that's,
Paul George.
That's supposed to stop somebody. But okay, let's hear about your favorite team to Let's hear about your take on the Clippers, because I want to hear this.
Yeah. First off, I mean, their starting five is better than the Lakers, period. Okay. When you have Paul George just looks fresh. I mean, Paul George with Kawhi Leonard, obviously, in my opinion, the best player in the league right now is Kawhi Leonard. You have Patrick Beverley, one of the most stubborn defenders this league has ever seen. Montrezl Harrell, obviously, I believe is like, you know, Busta Rhymes as a center.
Okay.
High energy guy.
I like Montrezl. He's gonna give it all he got. I really like Montrezl.
Yeah. Okay. Louisville all day.
Yep.
But I just think that they're starting five, and you know, whoever they have coming off the bench, just a little bit better than what the Lakers have. Just a little bit.
Okay.
Not saying that AD and LeBron are not like compatible to beat anybody, in my opinion, but the way that, man, I don't know, the Kawhi just got it, man. I don't know what it is, man. But when he is like locked in, like, it's scary to see him. Like, when he really wants to win, like, Kawhi's knocking down anything. It doesn't matter. So if LeBron James misses anything, Kawhi's going to make it on the other end. Plus, Kawhi has help, man. He has Paul George.
When healthy. Let's
like,
look.
Nigga, which is like, in my opinion, those are like, that's like Jordan and fucking Pippen.
Paul George ain't healthy a lot.
I agree with that one.
He ain't healthy all the time.
I agree.
And you know, the biggest thing that's important is to be available. You can be as great. You can be the greatest of all time. Like Scottie Pippen, to me, and to everybody else, he's top 50 player of all time. But as you saw in that docuseries, if you're unavailable, it hurts the team.
Yep, you so do. I'm telling you. Like I say, I'm glad to see Paul George healthy.
Okay.
And on a championship contending team, so you can really see what he has to offer a team like the Clippers. And I believe that their chemistry right before everything happened was on an up your climb. So I can only imagine. I hope that, you know what, I hope that this damn corona shit didn't like fuck up chemistry, or it did fuck up momentum for somebody. We just have to see which team it was, right? It is. That's, you know what I'm saying? Obviously, we're going to see somebody's going to fall off the face of the earth. And then there's going to be, like I said, a sleeper team that is going to catch fire. And it's going to be like, oh, shit, these motherfuckers about to do something. And my sleeper team is the New Orleans Pelicans. I like their young energy with Zion. You know, you got
Mello. But that's if they, because you got to remember that they're a game court from the minute. I'm sorry that the season ended. They were, I believe, a game and a half or two games behind Memphis. So they got a rough road to get into playoffs as well.
They do, but not necessarily. If you're gonna take the, well, they're still not. They're not.
That's what I'm saying.
Yet. How about
Memphis
that?
Memphis was in the bottom seed in the West, so I mean, you're talking about like a 30
right.
team.
At number eight, you're right. Memphis Grizzlies right now.
There's no way.
Season ended. They're 32-33. They're the number eight seed, and the Pelicans are 28-36.
Yeah, so there's no way. Games you would have to play.
They can still get in though.
But you would have to play 82 games.
Have to win.
You're not gonna win every game though. Even if you're playing if you're talking about playing like 6-7 games, like you'd have to finish the entire regular season, get a full 82 game season in, and you know, and then you can talk about them being a little bit as and that again, you're talking about immaturity, you know, players that have never been there before. They don't know.
No, like I said, I preface this by saying that I don't believe they're gonna win anything, but they're gonna be a show to see. I'm just saying, like, the way they were playing when Zion was on the floor, they were, you know, limiting him his minutes because he just got back off an injury.
That's fair.
So I was just like, okay, they're gonna just play him. But when he played, like, you know, he just jumped off the fucking screen like he did at Duke.
Yeah.
And it was just like, damn, I can't believe he's just making this shit look easy. Like, I almost wanted to see. He does look, listen, he has so much energy that he, when he looks tired, he'll still do something that'll amaze you. You'd be like, damn, how'd you even do that? But I hope that he can really, like, take care of his body and, like, get in shape, dude. Yeah, like, you really just have to get in shape. I understand that you're physically gifted, but, man, you need to go talk to LeBron about what to do as far as, like, to get in shape, because you could be the next coming. And shout out to New Orleans for even taking that risk, because, you know, with them getting that pick, oh, my goodness. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, that's, like, the whole thing about
they lost AD to get you, and don't get it twisted, you seem to be just... Maybe I can't say that. I won't say that you're better than AD, but your impact on the game.
He's better than AD.
No, I don't say like that. I wouldn't say like that.
He's better than Anthony Davis when he came into the league. When you're just thinking about, like, Anthony Davis was okay. This dude is box office.
I agree, he is box office. This dude is box office. I didn't know. I knew he was going to be good, but damn,
he's the closest thing.
But he might be. He might end up.
You didn't see. You didn't see.
He might be better than him.
You didn't see no commercials for Anthony Davis when he came into the league like this. Come on, man. Come on, man. We talking about this dude.
But I'm just saying. But
Jordan
He was one of them top picks, though. He was one of them top picks, though.
Was a top pick, absolutely.
He is good.
Also played He also played for Kentucky. I mean, they were great. Mm-hmm. You know, and to get all this.
Zion played for
7 foot. Zion ain't 7 feet. Let's get that. And Anthony Davis could never fly through the air like this dude. This dude is.
You don't have to when you 2 inches from the damn rim.
No, understandable. Understandable. But I'm saying, you got a better player now. Like, let's be real.
You have a more marketable player. How about that? I give you that?
Marketable, but also coachable. When I'm looking at Anthony Davis, yes, polished. Yeah, probably the best skilled big man in the league.
That's what I'm saying.
But when you look at Zoe, you are looking at untapped potential of the likes that we have never seen. It's like you try and find people to compare him to, and you can't. Easier with Anthony Davis, because you've seen this style of play before, you've seen this hype before. You have not seen a freight train with two rockets on the back of that ass running into the rim. Like, this dude is unreal. But the fact that he is coachable, you know, watch him in those pregame workouts and training and all that stuff. You watch a dude who's learning to finesse his shot, not go to the rack as hard, being able to lay, come off the other leg. He's very, very coachable. He's impressionable. He's likable. He's got that smile. I mean, this dude is just, you're talking about the complete package. Yes, you have a better investment. Let's say that. You have made a better investment.
I agree. I'm just saying, and that was like all, I won't say luck, but it is kind of luck. for New Orleans, you know, losing AD and then you gain Zion. I mean, it's just, that's just a blessing in disguise. But what I wanted to say about Zion is that I would compare him to a more skilled fucking Larry Johnson, or he's built like Sean Kemp.
That's what I was getting at.
You know, he's built like Sean Kemp. I'm just like, damn, he you know what I'm saying? He just has more offensive awareness, and he's more offensively skilled.
Yeah, when you watch Larry Johnson, and people like, you knew you were watching something different. You were like, exactly. This is different. Beast. This a man amongst boys. Yeah, like the first,
he got attitude to go with it. You know what I'm saying? I believe that Zion got passion.
Yeah,
he shows it. You know what I'm saying? He really loves the game. I believe that, but he has to stay healthy. He has to take care of his body. That's the only thing I would stress if I was
he also a New Orleans has that respect.
Pelican owner.
He got that respect for the players that come before him and stuff like that, which is going to be key because New Orleans is a career killing ass team, and you know how fitting that but it's this in is the land of the voodoo because they got some shit on them. When you talk about being able to get top tier players, not able to keep them, and also never making it out of the first round, a second round team, none of that. I mean, you're talking about a curse.
I know, but I'm just saying, Zion's gonna lift that. Don't get it twisted. As long as they stay right and do right by Zion, I believe that Zion's gonna get them further into the playoffs. I don't know if they're gonna win a championship or not. I'm not gonna put that much pressure on them. But to make the playoffs and to make a push and to you know, give the fans something to root for and hope for, that's what he's gonna give them until his contract is up.
Okay.
And then we'll see what happens because, you know, I look at it like this. Anybody that gets drafted to like one of these, in my opinion, low market cities, I'm not saying that New Orleans is not like a great city to be in, but I'm just saying as far as like basketball's play, like it's not really that noticeable. So it's more like a rookie stop shop, basically. You know what I'm saying? You just gonna stop there, do about 4 years, you know, do your time, do heavy penetrate time, and then you're gonna get out and, you know, get into the free world. And that's what you really want anyway. I mean, it is what it is. You know, I wouldn't, if I was Zion, would I want to have gone to, you know, New Orleans? Probably not. But I mean, hell, I was the number one pick. I can't knock that. You getting a lot of money. You know, there's a lot of good food down in New Orleans. So,
yeah.
You okay. You got millions of dollars and you living, you know, you're not even 20 yet. So shit, you living. You all right.
Well, it's a chance for him to make a true name for the team where they're at, because I mean, New Orleans is the Saints territory, and because the Pelicans have sucked so long, they have never really put their stamp on the city of New Orleans. So I think that with him being there, if you can get to a Western Conference Finals or Finals appearance,
and that's what I'm thinking, that their shit will be a Western Conference Finals, will be the height of Zion Williams.
Right.
Period. Well, obviously he's going to go against a Kawhi or a LeBron. So,
but here's the thing though. I mean,
to do anything after that,
he'll be at the end of that rookie contract, if not, you know, right on it by the time that happens, in my opinion, if it happens. And I'm hoping that he leaves at that point, because re-signing with the Pelicans, history repeats itself. It just has not been a good look.
It depends on what the Pelicans plan on doing. Like, they have to have a contingency plan. You have to understand, like, okay, I need to do something this offseason in order to, you know, look like I know what I'm doing, so that Zion might want to stay. Now, obviously, when Zion becomes a free agent, the whole fucking league is going to be at him. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's going to be, but the only fair thing is that you can get more money if you stay. That's the only plus side to any player. That's the way it's going to be forever, in my opinion, is that you can get more guaranteed money. And if you stay, that's the only way they entice players to stay these days. If you get more money, if you stay. But, you know, if you fucking Zion, that's the thing about it. I don't need more money for New Orleans. You know what I'm saying? I don't need that. I can get that in endorsements.
Right. But you need a better team around you. And
I agree. And that's what I'm saying. The New Orleans Pelicans organization can get talent around him to actually say, hey, we have a shot to beat LeBron or Kawhi a few years from now. If you have a plan and it's put in place. But if you don't add talent to that roster, obviously he's going to bounce. And that's just the way it is.
Well, that's the problem I see with them, man, because even though they've changed ownership from, you know, George Shen, and then you get the new owner, Tom Benson, you know, you're talking about ownership changing, yes, but the GM has remained the same. And that's my problem, because you know, from 2005 to 2011, when you had Chris Paul, you know, a generational talent as he was at the point guard position, you had all that time to put a team around. And you didn't. Not one that could compete.
Nope.
Same thing with Anthony Davis from 2012 to 2019. You had a chance to
turn around him,
and you put $338 million into him instead of a team. It doesn't make sense to me. Yep. You know, you trade away good players like Trevor Ariza's and the Rashard Lewis's that were at the height of their career when you had a chance to put them together with this guy and make a run for it. I just don't understand it. And until you change that GM, it looks like you're going to have the same problem. So if they change the GM, I will be more optimistic. But until then, I want the best for Zion, and that might not include New Orleans Pelicans. But we digress.
Yeah, I know. I listen. Only time will tell. They have, 4 years to do it? Yeah. So, I mean, shit. You're either going to get it together, or you're going to lose another one. And if that's the case, man, I look at it like this, man. Generational talent like that doesn't come around often. Yeah. I believe the New Orleans Pelicans are about to, they're about to bribe Zion with, $200 million. They really about to, skyrocket on him. Because in my mind, you're going to lose money. If you lose him, you lose money. Right. So you might as well overpay and still get you a little change in the city. Because it's kind of like, I believe it will be the effect of when LeBron left Cleveland.
Right.
How the city just dwindled. You know
because you put seats or asses in seats, and you
that's
there's
what
no
I'm
price
saying.
Tag on that, man. You got to pay that, man.
Exactly. And they listen, if I was in New Orleans, I'd pay whatever to see Zion straight up.
Well, you know, for me, and I want your opinion on this, because to me, I can think of three to four teams, in my opinion, this is including New Orleans Pelicans, Orlando Magic, I would say Phoenix Suns and the New York Knicks. And the New York Knicks, and I'm gonna just throw this out there for you, and I really, really, really want your insight on this as well. Okay. Give it to the citizens. These four teams to me, the New Orleans Pelicans, the Orlando Magic, the Phoenix Suns, and there may be more that I'm not speaking on, but the Phoenix Suns and there's just certain teams that when free agency comes around, they shit bricks and they don't get anything for it. And in retrospect, I mean, you might get players, but you don't get what you really, really need. And how many times do we watch the New York Knicks shit bricks during free agency, lose a good player, and end up in a rebuild year?
They've been rebuilding for 10 years. It's like, goddamn.
Well, your rebuild need a rebuild.
I don't know. Listen, in my mind, I'm like, can the NBA go ahead and rig so these niggas can get some players? I'm just saying, what did the New York Knicks do to the NBA to deserve to be this damn awful for this damn
especially
long?
When you're talking about being the media it's capital long overdue, of the world.
Like, my God. That's what I'm saying. Just do it like you did for Cleveland, bro. Just look out for a motherfucker. Be like, all right, bro, I'll give you the number one pick this year. You know what I'm saying? I notice how the NBA go, but I'm just like, damn, James Dolan, what the fuck going on? You got to understand, I'm a lightweight New York fan when it comes to basketball. You know, I'm just used to them from the
90s
being,
very decent.
Very decent. And when Melo played at the guard, I think it was incredible in my opinion.
That rebuild.
That was his own spot. So I agree. It did. But it was fun to see him.
Okay.
How about that? It was just fun to see him. He was a
show. Well, we had high hopes for Tyson Chandler and for Amari Stoudemire as well, coming from Phoenix. Those great years in Phoenix.
Yep. But if you're giving me four teams, you gave me Orlando Magic, but New Orleans,
the Phoenix Suns,
and the Knicks. I don't think the Orlando Magic have too much. All they have is Aaron Gordon.
Right. I'm speaking just period. Him. With that ownership team, in place, you talk about not being able to rally guys there to get players there. Free agency has come and gone. How many times since Dwight Howard has left Orlando, and you got Aaron Gordon out of the draft? You know what I mean? So you shit yourself.
No free agent has gone. I don't know, man. I have zero clue, bro. You know what? It's so hard because it's like those small market teams, what I like to call them, small market teams, are not fit for big time free agents. And the fucked up part about it is a lot of those low market teams have the most money.
Exactly.
Just you know, throwing that out there, because you're not paying anybody. So you got the most money, but yet no one wants to go to your fucking city. So it's just like, damn, how do you do this for anybody? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That's at the bottom. How do you do that for the Charlotte Hornets? How do you do that for the Sacramento Kings that have been terrible for since I've been fucking on them? Ever since Chris Webber and them left, when they was battling Kobe and Shaq. Ever since then, the motherfuckers have been trash for like years. Like, it's like, how do you flip that market? I don't even know if you can flip that market though. That's what I'm trying to stress to people. Like, I have no clue how you get better, because if no one wants to go to you, but you have all a shit ton of money to spend, right? You're gonna overplay for average players. So basically, if I'm an average player and I'm in a free agency with a whole bunch of good players, I'm gonna be fine, because I know I'm gonna get a contract that's over what the fuck I'm supposed to be. You know what I'm saying? So it's just timing, in my opinion, because none of those teams are gonna get the LeBron James, Anthony Davis. None of those teams are gonna get them. Any of those guys, they have to go, and like, you really have to be good at your job of scouting and getting talent that fits a scheme that you have. Because like the Detroit Pistons, think about it. When Joe Dumars and them, when they won, I think it was in 2006, I believe. 2004, when they won the championship, that was a team that was put together of very good pieces. Basically, they were good pieces to
no superstars, other teams. But good role players.
And no superstar, but they came together at the right time, and they were a force. That's what I believe all these other teams have got to do. These low market teams, that's what, in my mind, that's the blueprint to how I can actually win me a championship. I'm not going to be a dynasty or anything like that, but if I can somehow put together certain talents that can actually help me and win for my season, for a season or two, that's what I'm going to do. Because that's the only shot you have.
Well,
You don't have
that. That's what incriminates New York so bad, though, is because, you know, you've had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of players come through, and you have not been competitive the last 5 years. I mean, not even competitive. People know when they go to New York, they get ready to wipe the floor with your ass, and you're going to sit there and look stupid because you have no fight. You know, that's why the crowd is, you know, yelling, you know, sell the team to Dolan and the boys. And, you know, you have to, like, them, okay, they're separate. They're a separate entity because they're the Garden. And the Garden is the NBA, right? But and because they have bad ownership, they have to go away. Okay, that's fine. But they're a major market, so so let's direct the attention to a Phoenix or New Orleans or Orlando. You have not gotten anything else good out of the draft, and I don't know when. But there's also opportunity out there you have. Look, man, there's so many dudes that can ball, and you have not went and got them. That have not so gotten picked up.
Yeah, no.
You know, I personally, for the last 5 years, watched Orlando summer league, and the summer league teams have been better than their regular season team. I don't understand how that's possible.
I know. It's funny too, and it's almost like, damn, do you not like see the talent that you do have? I mean, are you scared to like let some of these veterans go to bring some other guys that may help your team? I don't know, but it's a mystery. I don't think we'll ever know exactly what happens and what goes through NBA GM's mind with some of these lower market teams, because I don't know. I mean, they just they're either cheap or they can't do their job well enough to get anybody that's worth it.
If you don't reach the salary cap, it's not like you're putting that money back in your pocket. I mean, that money's just there. It's there for the cap. You can either use it or you don't. It's there for the cap.
I'm telling you.
So
basically, I mean, and it's just going to sit there.
I don't know if they're waiting on a Christmas bonus, but you get that anyway. So I mean, what are you not using the money
for? I don't know.
I will never understand it.
I'm just saying. But if you thought about it, if no one wants to come to your actual team, what are you gonna do? Like, how are you gonna beg people? Like, you can't even beg them to come here. Like, seriously, like, Sacramento, who the fuck wants to go to Sacramento? I'm not saying it's a bad place to live, but I'm just saying, who the fuck wants to go there to play basketball? Nobody. So Sacramento has to fucking, you have to draft well. You, that's the only way that you're gonna fucking win, period. Drafting well, like the fucking Golden State Warriors did before they got Kevin Durant. They drafted they ended up being very that, fucking good. So
you have to have a pitch too, though. I mean,
you're not you have to have a draft guy.
You're not always gonna get primary out of the draft. You know what I mean? Like, there's not always gonna be that potential. So
I know you need to be able
to pitch.
But you gotta find it.
That's the point of, you know, having a good owner and having a GM. Hey, man, you know, I know we're a smaller market. You know, I know you got options, but listen, we want to make this entire, like, if you think about OKC, it's not a good market, but look at the talent they were able to get there
at all.
You know, and they drafted, but they also picked up some guys. You know, that entire team wasn't drafted. You know what I mean? And so you talk about.
Obviously, I think that because Kevin Durant was drafted by Seattle, and then they fucking canceled that whole team and then started OKC. So Kevin Durant was shipped down there, but you know, Westbrook was drafted, and so was fucking James Harden. He was drafted in that motherfucker. So, in my opinion, you have to draft these motherfuckers. You have to do it. You have to do it in a well-rounded manner. Period. You know, there is no excuses. I mean, you're not going to be able to get anybody in free agency. So if you could just eliminate that in your thought process, because I know you say, hey, you got to pitch well, but shit, man, if you're thinking about it, I'll ask you this question. Where would you rather play at? Period. Like, fuck the pitches. Sacramento or Miami?
Well, they both got decent weather. I mean, Miami's got...
But I'm just saying, where would you go?
Miami or Sacramento? But see, like, I don't know. I guess it's harder for me because I'm an average Joe. Like, these dudes already have money. And so you have to think about what they're thinking about.
Like, where would you want to spend your money at then? Where would you want to spend your money at, Miami or Sacramento?
I mean, location-wise, yes.
I'm just saying, I mean...
If your pitch is good enough to me, I mean, if you tell me I'm going to own this city, whereas, like, let's say that let's say you were good, right? But Miami right now has, like, these young dudes that they vibing with. And then they got the veterans like Jimmy Butler out there. So, like, even if you was, like, a Carmelo or, you know, well, let's think of, like, a veteran that's good, you know, like, you're not going to go out there and own Miami. Like, you're not going to be D-Wade. You know, you're not gonna like, you know, but in Sacramento, you have a chance to put your stamp on it.
Okay. But that's what I mean to say that you're gonna be overpaying for average talent. Not saying just good enough. You're not gonna win shit with this guy. I'm just saying you're gonna be overpaying for certain guys because you can't get anybody else to come to your team. So that's the only downfall to it. But you just gotta know what you're getting. Just don't be like, I'm just gonna sign anything.
I would appreciate the effort because some teams do that shit. If I saw you were trying, and hell, if you had like, damn, I had, you know, we had a free agent, but you know, he left. We got this other guy. Like, I would like to see you trying a free agency, because free agency is where you get to see, like, the draft is cool, but you have unknown factors in the draft. Like, you don't know if these guys' talent is going to translate to the league. Whereas free agency, it's like you get to watch finished products, and then you get to go hunt for them when they're available. Like, you're not, like, there's no excuse why you haven't picked up a Jamal Crawford type, you know. Like, there's guys out there that can ball, that are veterans, that can be implemented in systems, true, that can be successful. And if you're not going for them, then I'm not going for it.
True. I agree. But I'm just saying, a lot of those teams don't have players that are even, you know, comparable to anybody else. You know what I'm saying? Like, those markets have bad teams. So no one good wants to go to a bad team. I understand you'd be like, hey, you can own this city. But it's almost like, damn, you got to have the whole city. Like, the whole city got to come out and support you. Because, or it's not going to work. That's a pitch. You want the pitch, the whole city got to be behind you. You know what I'm saying? That's the only way to pitch to a guy and be like, okay, I might want to make this work here or here. You know what I'm saying? So especially if you're a small market.
But if you do that, it's harder for smaller market teams. I guess that's on the part of the players too, then, because you got to have faith in yourself that you can dominate. And you know, like if you, because yeah. I mean, if you ride hard in that city, then the city in the state is gonna, like, think about Golden State. Like LA, like California mm-hmm. could be like all Lakers territory. And though LA is still, you know, it's like California is still like mostly Lakers. Like, think about how much of that has changed since the Golden State Warriors emerged. Like, you got a lot of people that changed up their fan base, who they ride with, and I mean mm-hmm. all across the country. Mm-hmm. So it's not that it can't be done. I mean, when Boogie was in the league, I saw a lot more Sacramento jerseys and hats going around the cities. You know, I saw a lot of Sacramento stuff going on, and you know, they had the Vlade Divac and ownership. I mean, they had real ties to it that was like strong. Mm-hmm. And if he could have stayed healthy, and you know, it's just a lot of factors that go into whether or not you're going to succeed or fail as an organization.
True. It's all about it is the player that you select staying healthy, and other players and other. Basically, you have to hit on the draft for like 4 to 5 years, to be honest with you. Like, for these smaller market teams to actually make it, you have to like develop your shit as well as draft the next year and the year after that, but continue to develop your talent, because that's the only way you're gonna be able to compete with the top teams and at least try to like be like a Detroit Pistons and fucking sneak a championship in a year. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the way to think about it if you're a small market team. But you know, hopefully some of these small market owners wise the fuck up and be like, okay, I need to compete. Sacramento, you need to compete. Like, seriously. Phoenix Suns, you need to compete somehow, some way. You have got to find talent somewhere in order for you to compete at some point. You cannot sit up, because the Western Conference is going to be tough every single year. So anybody in the West, if you're at the bottom and of the West, you better start drafting like your life depends on it, because it kind of does. Like, you have to get out of the poor me mindset and just be a dog. You know what I'm saying? You want to be a dog, you want to be in this game, let's play big boy ball. Let's go get some talent. Let's go get some talent that, hell, not even, you know, a lot of NBA execs know about. You know, motherfucker, you know where they found Dennis Rodman at? Cleaning airports, my nigga. Yeah. Come on now, cleaning airplanes. Come on now. That's what I'm trying to get at. I want to see more stories like that. Of you going to get talent out of nowhere. Like, where the hell did you get this motherfucker at? That's because you were doing your goddamn job. That's what I want to see people doing their damn jobs, going overseas, seeing other players, just getting more talent. And that's basically how you can win in the NBA for a small market team.
I'm not mad at that. We got it. Let's get back into our topic though, man, because you know, we still got a lot to talk about as far as how the NBA is coming back and what this means for the league, man. And I definitely want to get into the financials of it, right? Because, I mean, you talk about professional sports. What's bigger than the money? What's bigger than the money?
Talk about the money. Let's talk about the money.
So, unfortunately, the reality is that the players are going to get hit hard by the financial crisis with this pandemic. So, the CBA, I think, agrees to play to pay the players between 49% and 51% of the league's BRI each season, assuming that there's an even split. There's going to be like a $1.2 billion loss in NBA revenue, which comes out to like $600 million dollar hit on the players. So how do you think that affects like going forward? Like, because you got a lot of guys that can't afford and can't afford, you know, that situation. You know, what do you think on that?
That's for them, in my opinion, because, you know, I can't tell the players what to do. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They want their money. It's going to be a loss either way it goes, especially for the owners, because they're not going to be playing in their stadiums. They want to play in Orlando or Las Vegas. So that takes away every arena in the country. So once again, that money is not there for the owners. The owners want more money from the players. They're having a disagreement right now. I mean, the players and the owners agreed to a certain term, and now the owners are like, hey, we want a little bit more money if possible, and they want to renegotiate some shit, and the players are like, man, we kind of like the way it is right now, so we'll see how that turns
crooked,
out.
That's hopefully, that crooked money. Listen, I hope it doesn't. Some billionaires and stay billionaires.
Exactly. So I'm just hoping that they settle their differences and just fucking play the season. I just want to see what the season is going to be. I hope everything works out evenly for the players and the owners, even though they still will lose money because of stadium revenue.
Yeah, it's not going to be there.
But, you know, hopefully they can do it with TV revenue, and hopefully they can get everything, you know, settled and situated so that there's no beef, so that it doesn't delay the season even longer. That's all I don't want. I just don't want the season to be delayed.
See, and I'm of the other mindset that I think that they're getting ready to come off top or come on top for the TV revenue that they're going to receive, because I know that in 2014 they signed like a 9-year TV deal with ABC, ESPN, TNT, you know, all the major broadcasters that broadcast the NBA for like $2.6 billion beginning with the 2016-17 season, also earning an extra $200 million per 10 year for that contract. And after 2016, they had upped it to the contracts being estimated around $24 billion in total. And there's like 400 odd stations that play. So you're talking about local TV that they still haven't received, because I think you got to reach like 60 something games or 60 or 70 games or something like that for local TV money deals to hit. And so they hadn't reached that yet. And they won't reach that until the playoffs. Yep. But when they do, and you're talking about millions of fans, or I'm sorry, hundreds of thousands of fans that would have been in attendance at the games. I won't go into millions because I have to do the math on the stadiums and how many and all that shit.
Right.
But so you're talking about hundreds of thousands of fans that would have been watching the game there versus now they'll be watching at home, attributing to those ratings that they're going to get a huge boost on. You know, aside from the fact that you're talking about people that have nothing, so not only are you going to get the NBA fans that would always watch this and then a couple, but you're also going to get the people that have been berated and bereft of any type of sports, baseball, you know, other such, you know, and that, mm-hmm. that goes forward. You're talking about any other sport. So now people just want to watch sports. So the average Joe that was going to spend his, you know, Sundays basically. And Friday, all that watching baseball, the guy that wants to watch soccer, these dudes are going to be watching basketball. So, I mean, you got to multiply that by however many sports, you know, and then the fans. So I think that they're going to end up coming out on top of revenue because, it'd be nice to have that that normalcy in the ways that you'd be getting from ticket sales and this and that. But when you're talking about being the only sport on TV, I mean, at that scale...
I mean, they won't be the only sport on TV. Baseball will still be playing,
well, we don't know.
But it won't be playoff that. It won't be playoff baseball. Everybody got to negotiate everything. You know, I'm thinking that this whole season, the only sport that I believe is like shit safe from all of this is football, because they get to, you know, watch baseball and basketball do their thing, and they can, you know, learn from their mistakes or do something better if they want to. But only thing I didn't want, and I still don't want this, is no fans in the stands. As long as they have some fans in the stands, because I cannot sit up there. I cannot watch or hear the ball bounce and all the damn squeaking feet. I can't. Yeah, I cannot. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that through this entire program. something. You know what I'm saying? So I'm pretty sure everything will be worked out. I have faith that everything will be worked out financially between the players and the owners, so that everything can resume as normal or as normal as can be.
The problem with baseball, though,
you know, that as far as that goes,
because you'll be talking about going into the inclement weather months, and when you got teams, you know, that are playing.
I know, right? I know. In December, you want to fucking play baseball. Come on now. But they're going to have to. That's the fucked up part about it. They're going to have to for this season. This is what I wanted to know, too. Like, every season, it's like, is like, what's the new normal going to be for NBA or
NBA
baseball?
Will be,
like, how they going to do it now?
The NBA season will start Christmas Day and then go until, you know, September or whatnot. Baseball, I think baseball just has to be washed this season. I think you can start fresh, because when you're talking about going into December.
Do you know how much money they're going to lose, dude? Do you know how much money that's a lot?
Well, here's the thing about baseball, though. Baseball's already been declining.
Baseball at all.
I mean, they're at about the lowest they've been since the sport started. So, I mean, they haven't really seen a jump in revenue in the past 10 years, they've been kind of on the shit show end of sports. And it sucks because, I mean, as it's supposed to be America's pastime, they've been getting hit hard because people just don't want to sit and watch baseball all day anymore. So,
yep. I mean, it's a long game to watch.
I think baseball's best bet is to watch the season, promo, do all that, come back strong next year because you'll have a deeper appreciation for the sport. They've really been going through it. I think baseball actually might need this. Sad to say, as it is, but you know, you're talking about America's pastime that nobody's cared to watch, and so you know, a year bereft of that, I think coming back with a deeper appreciation, they might see a better year, and maybe you know, going forward, that's just something that they might have to do.
Okay, well, shoot, I hope so. I mean, if that happens, then I hope it, you know, turns out good for baseball. You know, if they do play this season, then you know they're gonna be playing a shorter season. Everybody's revenue is have to be renegotiated basically because baseball is probably gonna play a shorter season where they usually play 182 games. They're probably gonna play half of that basically. So it's like, okay, you gotta factor that revenue in there. So I mean, it's gonna be a shit show for baseball. I hope they do play because, in my opinion, I just want to see them all play. You know, as far as like the off season, I believe that's where I want to see it. And I know baseball players do not want to be playing in the blistering cold, especially if you got to go to New York. New York in November, December is trash. No way I'm trying to play baseball in.
But I mean, hasn't that been their Achilles heel anyway? Though, like they play too many games. I mean, you're talking about 130 plus games.
I agree with that one. I've always been a fan.
Think about how popular football is. 16 game season. You know, now talking about 17 games, but I mean 16 game seasons.
But you know, NBA plays what, 62? Or 82? Which one anyway?
That's too many.
I mean, shit.
That's too many. You're talking about quantity versus quality.
It might be.
That's the reason why when you watch an NFL game, people are so into it and this and that. And, you know, they're the most watched sport in the States. And yeah, every game counts. Every game counts. Like, you can have a bad 20 games in the NBA, you can lose 20 straight games. And still go to the playoffs.
Yep, and still be good in the end. So yeah, you're right.
I think they all need to bring it down. You could have semi-annual seasons if you just bring those games down. Hell, who knows? But baseball, nobody wants to see. You have all those teams, and they're all playing 100 games. Like, that's just crazy to me. There's no way you can social distance with that now because that needs to be something that you take into consideration, whether or not you know we overcome the coronavirus or that. I mean, that just has to be, everybody has to take more caution now. There's no way you can do that shit with 100. You're talking about 500 games being played at once. Like, come on, man.
You're right. That's what I'm saying. They're gonna shorten the season up this time. And in baseball, it should have an asterisk on it as well because shorter season, you don't know who to have. Some people can catch heat, faster than others. So, you know, that's going to also hinder a whole lot of things. So, we'll see how Houston. That goes, you know. But
the cheat.
I know, right? The cheat, I know, right? They're going to steal your signal, so it don't really matter. So, I mean, that is another whole discussion as well, about that whole fiasco. So, definitely want to get on that one.
So,
future,
I mean,
but, sure.
So I just want to ask you a quick question. So, with the NBA resuming, and let's say that there's talks about them allowing so far 25% of the fans to be in attendance. That's like an upside, basically. You know, like the reality is like no fans, and then the upside being
okay.
You can get 25% of people in there. Well, how does that, you know, how do you think, like, let's say that the season starts and they see things are going well, and you're playing those 6-7 games going into the playoffs, how does allowing 25% of those fans, like, how do you think that would impact the situation? Because that's deep.
They're gonna have it like tournament style, so it's not right. There's no home court advantage, so that automatically hinders a young team, in my opinion. Young teams need crowds. Veterans do not. So it helps the LeBron James, the Kawhi Leonards within that league. But it hurts the younger teams that are hungry, you know, they don't know exactly what they're doing, but you know, they got enough energy to, okay, you know, make something happen. So, you know, it just hurts those type of teams. That's why I'm just looking at it like, I don't know, I'm just throwing my hands up with the rest of the season. I'm just like, you know, let's just get to the playoffs and kind of get this season over with, and just try to focus on 2021 when you're going to be playing Christmas Day. I mean, let's get that going. So I'm just ready to speed this shit up.
So you're fine with just the straight, with the get this train rolling, league, man. You know, situation, no fans, you know, the staff and all that.
I want fans. I want 25. I want the fans. I want the peer. I cannot sit up there and hear sneakers. Okay. So you want somebody on the floor and basketball last night. Yeah, I mean, since it's going to be at the Summer League fucking headquarters in Orlando and in Las Vegas, you can put a little bit more people in the stands than you can in Orlando. But I mean, it's still going to be quiet as fuck. I mean, I don't know. It's going to be real weird. I know it's just going to be to see LeBron James and Kawhi Leonard and everybody in that small ass stadium just trying to play ball. I mean, they're going to play their hearts out, but it's not going to be like regular. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to be like last year. It's not going to be as hype. I mean, people going to watch it like crazy, but you're not going to have the same reactions. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, if anybody hits a last second shot, basically the team going to go off. Ain't going to be nobody else. The crowd will not erupt. Shit like that. And it's going to affect. People don't realize it, but trust me, everybody will see it and be like, damn, this don't seem right here, man. We need something better than this. But you're going to be happy to see basketball. But what you're going to be seeing, you're going to be like, damn, I wish it was a little bit better than this. I mean, you're going to be getting quality, but the fans in the stands, you're going to see how important having fans really is with this coronavirus happening. You're going to really see absence of fans affect certain teams.
Interesting enough, I know that we had spoke earlier about the NBA resuming in Orlando and them playing. I believe you said something about Disney World. I wonder how that is going to go, seeing as how they plan on reopening here in July. So I wonder if if they're going to reopen on July 11th, you know, how does that affect the league stand on actually playing in Orlando? Because then, I mean, you're talking about fans. Like, we spoke about fans coming out because they were bored before. I mean, my God, the million that'll be in attendance at Disneyland, you think 50% of them don't want to see 100 superstars in one building?
I mean, listen, they're gonna open up, but they're gonna have restrictions of how many people can get in. Now, you can come down if you want to. You can come down to Orlando and do whatever the fuck you want to. But as far as you getting in, that's a whole nother situation. You know, you'll be paying to get down there for no fucking reason because you ain't gonna be able to see a goddamn thing. So, you know, you can like I said, they are gonna reopen. Disney World, and on the 11th, like I said, July 11th, and it's going to be, you know, 25% capacity and shit like that. You know, this first wave of their social distancing guidelines, so stage one. So, you know, they're gonna just slowly do this stuff, but, you know, like I said, I just want to see it. I don't know exactly how it's really going to look. So I'm interested in seeing, and you know, I'm pretty sure within the next couple of weeks we'll get more details. And once we get them, I'm pretty sure we'll relay the message to the listeners out there for sure about what's going on in the NBA. But I'm looking forward to it. I do want some fans in the stands. Those that come down, you can come down, but you know, hope you can get in, because if you can't, you just wasted your trip. So I mean.
That's what
it's better just to watch it at the crib. You know what I'm saying? That's what they're hoping for. They're hoping for you just to watch it at home. Yeah. They still want social distancing. So they're gonna give you the full fucking experience at home. So they're gonna, you know. So I'm looking forward to what it's gonna look like.
You guys heard it first, man. Sure. I mean, we're not ecstatic about, you know, no fans being in the stands, man. But you know, anything, I guess, right now to crown a champion, make sure that we, you know, get ready for this next season coming up for 2021, I'm sorry. And, you know, we just want sports back, period, man. Because, you know, being in a man cave, how can you be in a man cave when you don't got nothing to talk about? You know, being a man, got to have sports. And that's what we do here, man. But please, like, share, all that stuff, man. You know, our normal spiel would be on all our social media promoting any type of post that we do, man. We love you guys.
Yes.
We got more coming up with Ruff and Wenzel, man. So please, please, please stay tuned.